This is Brewers on Tap.
Welcome into episode number 21 of Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. Hi again, everybody. Jeff Levering with you. And don't forget to submit those questions each and every week to @Brewers on Twitter using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Coming up on this week's episode, you'll hear from reliever Jeremy Jeffress talking about his stellar season thus far, and Brewers television broadcaster Bill Schroeder, who was enshrined on the Brewers Wall of Honor last week at Miller Park. It was quite a week for the Schroeder family, and you'll hear all about it from The Rock himself. But before we get to our great guests, it's time for This Week in Brewers History.
And now, this week, the Brewers history.
We go back to July 20th, 1976, and that's when Hank Aaron hit his 755th and final home run off of California Angels pitcher Dick Drago in the seventh inning of a 6-2 victory at County Stadium. The ball was retrieved by Richard Arndt, a member of the grounds crew for the Brewers. Arndt supposedly offered to return the ball to Aaron on the condition that he'd meet the home run king in person, but for whatever reason, the request was denied. Arndt was fired the very next day for refusing to hand over the baseball, and as the story goes, he was even docked $5 from his final paycheck for the cost of the baseball. That was on July 20th, 1976. And July 25th is a day that lives in infamy in Brewers history. First, in 1999, Robin Yount becomes the first player to be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame wearing a Brewers cap. And then 5 years later, in 2004, on the very same day, July 25th, Paul Molitor was inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And that is this week in Brewers history. And now let's take a listen to last week's highlights.
And a swing and a miss. It's another strikeout for Fires. Give him seven now. And a shot. Got a chance to turn it if you hurry. Segura to Jeanette in time. Double play. Got him. A strikeout to end it. Francisco Rodriguez closes the door on the Pirates. And the Brewers win 4-1. And how about Frankie Rodriguez, his 20th save this year. He's got 20 in a row this year. Nelson, that is fair. A base hit. Ramirez scores. Here comes Jeanette. How about that? Jimmy Nelson drives in two. Just like that, it is 3-2 Pittsburgh. 1-0 to Lucroy. And Jonathan sends one deep in the left field. That is way back. Goodbye. A long home run by Lucroy. 5-3. Brewers have the lead.
Rami, a base hit back in the second, and a run scored. And the 1-1. Ramirez sends one in the air to left. Get up. Get up. Get out of here. Gone for Ramirez. And the Brewers add one more on a towering home run by Aramis Ramirez. That's number 11 on the year. And he got it all.
2-2 pitch. Davis, center field, way back there. How far will it fly? Wow! Chris Davis takes it into the deep reaches of Miller Park. His second pinch hit home run of the season. Rodriguez on the ground. Ramirez gloves it. Fires to second. Out there. Perez's throw in time.
Oh, a nice turn by Perez. And a good job by Ramirez getting rid of it quickly.
There's a swing and a miss. Finally retires Jeff Locke. And that'll probably do it for Youngman. Gives up one run in seven innings. Here's a big spot for Chris Davis. Got a chance at redemption here. And that one's in the right center. That's going to fall a base hit. All the way to the wall it goes. to tie it. Ramirez will be waved. Here comes the throw, and Ramirez is safe. Brewers take the lead, 2-1. Goes to the signs. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. And there's a curveball and a swing and a miss. He got him. Jeremy Jeffress.
Certainly a good week for the Brewers as they swept the Pittsburgh Pirates at Miller Park to get the second half of the season off to a good start. And it all started with Mike Fiers, who threw a seven-inning gem at Miller Park against the Pirates. Francisco Rodriguez racked up save number 368 of his career on Friday to get into eighth place all-time on the saves list, passing Jeff Reardon. Jimmy Nelson also got a win against the Pirates with eight strikeouts and even drove in his first two runs of his career in the contest. Jonathan Lucroy, Aramis Ramirez, and Chris Davis each blasted home runs in that win on Saturday against the Pirates. And the crew finished off the sweep against the Buccos after Taylor Youngman dominated for seven innings. And Chris Davis came up with a clutch two-run double in the seventh inning to guide the Brewers to a 6-1 victory. One of the key members of that Sunday victory was reliever Jeremy Jeffress. He's had a tremendous 2015 season and coming back to the team that originally drafted him in the first round in 2006. In this week's Catching Up with the Crew, it's reliever Jeremy Jeffress.
Let's catch up with the crew.
Time to catch up with the crew this week, and you've been hearing his voice all season long on the podcast because he introduces this segment. That is reliever Jeremy Jeffress. Jeremy, it's been a great first half for the season so far. Just coming off the All-Star break, first and foremost, what did you do in the All-Star break?
I just went home to Arizona. That's where I live now, and just chill with family. Saw my daughter. You know, I haven't seen her in a couple weeks, and just rest. That's all I did.
You've been working pretty hard here in the first half. Was it kind of nice to shut it down for a couple days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was much needed. And I think everybody needed it, too, just to clear their head and just get a fresh start for the second half. And, you know, and everybody knows what we got to do, so we're just going to come back and, you know, try hard.
Tell me about your first half. Obviously, you've been worked a lot this year. I mean, the most innings you've had in your career, most appearances so far, and pitching the heck out of the baseball so far. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. This is the first time I've, you know, pitched this much in the first half, but it's actually pretty good for me because I just need to stay focused and come to the park every day ready to pitch, and being in those games are, you know, I'm very excited and very blessed to do it, and thanks for the confidence for them to believe in me.
There was a stretch there where you might pitch 3-4 times in a week. Did the arm ever feel fatigued?
No, I mean no. I actually felt, you know, pretty stable, and you know I had a lot of endurance, and I just took it as what it was, you know, just playing baseball and, you know, just getting job done.
You know, this is a team that doesn't have really defined roles with the exception of K-Rod at the back end. You know, he's going to pick up the saves when they're there. So when you came into the season and they said, all right, man, you want a job on this team and you're going to be a big part of this team, did you have an idea of what kind of role you were going to be in?
No, not really, but, I mean, I knew it was going to be back end, kind of, and from coming off of last year when I was pitching a little bit in the back end. So, and like I said, and it was only a couple guys that we knew that was going to, like you said, have the certain spots. So coming in, I just wanted to, you know, have the baseball. It didn't matter where I pitched.
If you're pitching in the seventh or the eighth inning, does your mindset change at all?
It kind of. You know, depends on, you know, seventh inning you might face, you know, early guys in the lineup. Or, you know, it might be vice versa. It just depends on where the guys are in the lineup and how you want to face them.
Velocity-wise, it seems like your fastball is jumping a lot more. I saw you come up through the Royal system after you'd been traded to Kansas City, and your velocity was maybe 92, 93. You're throwing out there 96, 97 pretty consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been in the weight room working and keeping my shoulder stretched and, you know, just trying to stay healthy and just trying to just drive the baseball down in the zone.
Did you make any mechanical changes?
Not really. I think I would say, I mean, just gripping the sinker ball and, you know, just letting the action do the work. You know, that's the only thing I focus on.
How tough is it when you're throwing 97 miles an hour to get some sort of action on it?
I mean, it's very tough, but, I mean, your focus is staying on top of the ball and, you know, just driving it down and just let the grip do the work.
Talk about your off-speed pitch. You got that slurve/slider curveball. It's kind of a hybrid between the two pitches.
Yeah, it's actually a great pitch, and I've been working on it a lot more, and it's getting better and better. And I know it's one of the pitches that I need for in my repertoire to be successful. So, yeah, I've been working on it a lot.
Has that pitch evolved? I mean, when you were coming through, did you throw a, you know, strictly a slider or strictly a curveball before, and this is kind of a combination that's morphed?
Yeah, I actually did throw strictly a knuckle curveball, you know, straight over the top, and once I dropped down to sinker ball, I actually just used the same arm slot and, you know, the same grip and just threw it from the, you know, three-quarter slot, and it was a, kind of a slurve, so that's what I called it.
Jeremy Jeffress is our guest here on the podcast, and Will Smith is out there in the bullpen with you, and you guys came through Kansas City too. He was traded from the Angels to the Royals, and now you guys are two of the bigger linchpins in that bullpen. Kind of nice to have a familiar face out there, isn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. And we know that. I mean, we've been buddies since, like you said, Kansas City, and to come over here together and to be in this bullpen together and to work together is just awesome. And we plan on being together and on this team for a long time.
Well, and you guys are kind of in tandem, too, because either one follows the other or, you know, vice versa.
Yeah, we pick each other up a lot. And, I mean, we know that if lefty's coming up, it's going to be him. If righty's coming up, it's going to be me. And we just know in order to get to Frankie, we have to do our job. So
this bullpen's been a lot of fun to watch, and it's been very successful. A lot of veteran presence in there. You know, Neil Kotz, Jonathan Broxton, Francisco Rodriguez, of course. You know, yourself, who's got some major league experience, Will Smith. How about Michael Blazek? I mean, that guy is coming in, and he's just throwing the heck out of the baseball.
Oh, yeah, he's involved himself. I mean, even from last year, he had a good season last year. He just didn't know where to put him. But him coming up, making the team out of spring, I mean, it was just unbelievable. I'm happy for the guys, you know, from jump start. And he's actually been doing a great job out of that pen.
I say this very lovingly because I've known Michael since he came through the Cardinals organization. But I think people are afraid of him. Are they afraid of him?
Yeah, but Blazek, he don't talk, bro. He'll sneak up on you sometimes, too, and just mess up. We call him the sniper. So you never know where he's at, so just watch your back.
He's dicey. That makes him scary on the hill, too.
Exactly. He knows what to do, and I'm telling you, everybody believes in him, and we know he can pitch. We've seen it before, so, yeah, we like it a lot.
All right, away from baseball, I've come to know that you own a golf range. Yeah. With your dad, right?
Yeah, me and my dad, we built it, actually. Me, my dad, my brother, my grandfather, uncle, we built it starting in 2004. And it's full-blown. It's on 40 acres of land. It's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner restaurant inside. And, I mean, it's just – we actually just put a new game called foot golf. I don't know if anybody knows about that. It's a soccer ball. It's just like golf, but you just use a soccer ball on your feet. So, I mean, it's pretty good. We've been starting since 2004, and it's been going wonderful.
So, is this it's an actual golf course? It's not just a range. It's a course.
No, it's a range.
Okay.
But on the side, on the outskirts of it, it's a 9-hole foot golf.
Gotcha.
So like soccer, and it's pretty fun, man. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's awesome.
I've played my fair share of frolf before, which is the frisbee,
yeah, the
golf.
Frisbee golf, yeah. It's something similar, but it's just with a soccer ball.
And a huge hole.
Huge hole, yeah.
Got to do that. Yeah. Now, do you play golf at all?
Oh, yeah, I love golf. I play all the time, much as I can, especially in Arizona in the wintertime. Yeah. The weather's perfect, so I play as much as I can.
You take it to Kyle Loesch?
I take it to him, but I don't ever succeed in winning. Yeah, he's a great golfer, man. I'm telling you, he does it all.
You got a lot of good personalities in that clubhouse, a lot of good golfers too. JJ, continued success, man. It's been a great opportunity to talk with you. Great to watch you throw this year, man. Keep it up.
I appreciate it. Thank you a lot.
As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's been a big week for Bill Schroeder and his family. Schroeder, who is in his 21st year in the television broadcasting booth with Milwaukee, was enshrined on the Brewers' Wall of Honor. He had his family and his friends here in attendance, and even throughout the first pitch. So now in this week's edition of Let's Break It Down, Bill Schroeder talks about his weekend.
Let's Break It Down.
Bill Schroeder is our guest this week on the podcast, and Bill, it's been quite the weekend for you, to say the absolute least. Inducted under the Wall of Honor here in Milwaukee, and first and foremost, just want to get your thoughts on what that means to you.
You know, Jeff, I've always been kind of a guy interested in the history of the game of baseball, you know, not just nationally, and, you know, the players and people that were very influential in baseball and led us to where we are today, but, you know, particularly in here in Milwaukee. And the fact that that's so important to me makes this honor so big, in that now, you know, being on that wall outside of the hot corner, I will always be remembered as part of the history of this great organization, and being included in a list of people that had a great impact or an impact on the game of baseball in this town. So That means a lot to me because history of the game is important to me, and with that honor, I feel like I'm a part of it.
And you'll always be a part of it with your name enshrined out there, and you had your family and friends here this weekend too. How great was it to have them be there right with you when this was all going on?
Well, without a doubt. The fact that, you know, I don't have really any immediate family here except for my daughter and my granddaughter and her husband. But, you know, Kate and I, my wife, you know, we planned it out. The Brewers have been so great about, you know, getting my family in here, her side of the family, my side of the family. My dad came in from Pennsylvania, my brother from New Jersey, my cousin and his wife. And you know, it wouldn't have meant so as much if they were not able to be here. You know, my dad's 82 years old, and, you know, I don't know if he's going to be coming out here much anymore. But to have him down on the field in that ceremony, I think it meant more to him than it meant to everybody to see his son be a part of all this whole thing.
Having a conversation with your dad, Pete, who's as nice as it gets. I met him just a couple of days ago. Just told me some great stories about you, all good things, of course. He told me a story that when you were in the big leagues that you paid for him to go to every single American League ballpark one season.
Yeah. Well, he retired from education. He was a high school principal for many years, and he retired when he was 55 years old, and he still had the ability to get around. He didn't make all of them, but my wife and I gave him a gift of vouchers for every stadium that he had not been to yet. He'd been to a lot of them. And he used a lot of those vouchers. The voucher was, you know, to call a travel agent, and they would set he and my mother up to go to the stadiums. But I think he missed about three in the American League. It was just American League because I never played in the National League. So he never forgot that, and that was something that we felt like we wanted to do because that was important to him to see every stadium, particularly while I was playing. So, you know, once I retired, all bets are off. The gift was taken back.
21 years in the Brewers broadcasting booth. You've had a number of different partners you've worked with, Matt Vaskirjan, one of them, Brian Anderson, now Darren Sutton. Obviously, you've taken bits and pieces from everybody, but I'm sure you've been the one constant. 21 years here in the broadcast booth. You are Milwaukee baseball. Is that kind of daunting to think about?
Well, other than Bob Uecker, I mean, Bob Uecker is Milwaukee baseball. You could probably say maybe I've got the reputation for being Brewers television. But there's not been anybody like Bob, and you know, I've learned a lot from him. He's never been a partner of mine, but I've learned so many things about how to do this job, not just behind the mic, but you know, how to handle myself and being always positive. And he loves the game of baseball, so I owe a great debt of gratitude to Uke. But you know, at Jim Paske, you know, my first 2 years, I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea what I was doing, and I know he was very patient with me. He was a professional. He had been at it a long time. Actually, his second time as a Brewers television announcer. And, you know, he told me something that at the time I didn't quite understand but resonates with me now, and that, you know, you don't want to be a player that's sitting in the booth talking baseball. You want to be a broadcaster that used to play. I didn't understand quite what he meant at that point, but I did as time went on. And Jim was pretty X's and O's and didn't deviate from the game too much. But then I had Matt Vaskirjan. It couldn't be more of a polar opposite. I mean, he's singing on the air and bringing up, you know, Gen X stories and cartoon episodes and, you know, Laverne and Shirley stuff. And I learned how to relax a little bit with Matty and enjoy the game. And I think I was progressing and getting more comfortable in my own skin in the booth. Really enjoyed my time with Matt. We had a great time together. Darren Sutton, you know, Matty was 5 years. Paske the first 2 years, and then Darren Sutton came in, and high energy, man. Red Bull to the hilt, man. He'd pound him down, and that foot would be bouncing, and he had an incredible passion for the game and winning. And, you know, I always joke around with Darren in that it was the five easiest years I ever had because as much as he talked, I didn't have to do so much. If you remember, recall the old Buckethead Brigade days, you know, that was one partner that I could look eye to eye with. And had about as big a head as I did, so they called it the Buckethead Brigade out in left field. Those were some very lean years for the Brewers. The team was not very good. They had to get something going, generate some interest. The Buckethead Brigade, the people filled that section every single, I think it was Tuesday night, and had a good time with Darren. And then B.A., I mean, you know, he encompasses the whole package of the other three guys that, you know, I've mentioned. I mean, I've never been around the guy that knew so much about the intricacies of broadcasting and what goes on in the production truck and producing and directing. And he's always been very good at sharing with me the big picture of things. You know, I'm kind of a guy that looks at it on the surface and say, well, let's talk about Jimmy Nelson. I talk about how good his slider is. But no, he'll remind me, let's talk about the picture of maybe how good this organization and this pitching staff can be with he and Taylor Youngman and things like that. So he gives me good philosophical insights as well. We've been great friends. We get along very well on the field, and with him, with my ninth year with him, and it's been a lot of fun.
Got to ask you about your first pitch. Now, you originally said, all right, I'm just going to throw a lollipop in there, but I think when he got up there, the adrenaline was coming. But I think Ed Cedar really helped you out, presented that pitch very nicely.
Dreadful, dreadful pitch. You know, I threw out the first pitch last year on my birthday, and Brewers celebrated my 20th year, and I warmed up a little bit. I threw the ball against the wall in the dugout for a couple of minutes. I went out there cold on Friday night, short hopped him. I'm just glad I didn't hurt him. But, all joking aside, it was just it's just a great adrenaline rush. You know, the reaction of the fans was great, and just a terrific scene. And I will always be appreciative to the Brewers and, everybody with Fox and all the extra work everybody did to put this whole thing together and to give me some time off during the game. I thank you to you, too, for filling in. So I just hope that you have as good a time as a broadcaster here in Milwaukee as I've had. I've had a blast.
Well, if I could fall in anybody's footsteps, I mean, it's been phenomenal being here for as long as I have, and I say that in all sincerity. And to see what happened out there on Friday and how the crowd was able to rally behind you, and it was really Bill Schroeder Day, and there were people with jersey T-shirts with Schroeder on the back. I mean, it was your day. That has to just hit you at the core.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, had it not – and I owe a lot to the fans, and I mentioned in a press conference. I mean, if the fans did not enjoy what we do up here in the booth, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here for 21 years. I mean, if the fans didn't like what I was doing, the Brewers would find somebody that they liked and that enjoyed listening to. So, all the people that I have to thank, I think, first and foremost, is the fans for supporting what I've been doing for this period of time. We do have, everybody says it, it's an old stale cliche. We have every team says they have the best fans in baseball, but you look in the stands here at Miller Park every single night. Last night, 34,000 people. The team really has no chance of getting into the postseason, but they continue to come out. They love their baseball, they watch on television, and they deserve a good product each and every night. And Brian and I remind ourselves of that every single night. No matter what's going on, there's somebody sitting down in front of that television wanting to be entertained and want to learn something about the game. And there's always that one person that has never tuned in before, whether it be TV or radio, that's evaluating you for the first time, and that's something I'll never forget.
Very similar to being on the field, too. I know Mickey Mantle used to say that. Joe DiMaggio used to say that, too. You never know who's watching. So, Rock, again, hearty congratulations to you. It's been so fun just to be a part of this for just this season. I know you've done it for 21 years, but you set the bar real high. So I appreciate that for all of us coming through. Hearty congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff. And it's good talking to you. And, like I said, someday you and I might be partners someday.
Not just in spring training, right?
Not only webcast, the big boy, though.
Hey, and you're the first multi-appearer on the podcast, too. I know you're a big podcast listener.
Yeah, I love it. I was one of the first ones, right?
Yeah,
I finally, a couple of months ago, learned how to tune into the podcast. Yeah. But so I didn't get the first couple, but yeah. BA taught me how to get the podcast on my iPad. So, yeah, nice job, by the way.
Thanks. It's getting much, much better. It all started because I interviewed you first.
Yeah, well, get it out of the way and then move on.
Congrats, Rock. Well done.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Checking in on the farm.
We check in on the farm with minor league action this week, and at the deadline to sign players from the June draft, the Brewers inked left-hander Nathan Kirby from the College World Series champion Virginia Cavaliers. He was selected by Milwaukee, number 40 overall, and went 5-3 with a 2.53 earned run average in 12 games over 11 starts over his junior season. He picked up the final six outs in the clinching game over Vanderbilt, punching out five in the championship game for Virginia. Kirby is on his way to low Class A and the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. In High A in Brevard County, left-hander Wei Chung Wong has been unreal. Over his last five starts since June 24th, Wong hasn't allowed any more than one earned run and just three runs total over his last 32 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's 7-2 overall with a 4.15 earned run average in 17 starts with the Manatees. First baseman Jason Rogers has done nothing but hit in his time in Colorado Springs. He went 3-for-5 on Friday last week with a grand slam for the Sky Sox, and he's hit safely in 17 of 18 games he's played. Overall, he's hitting .388 with 17 runs scored, 6 home runs, 18 RBIs, and 13 walks. Suffice to say that Jason Rogers will find his way back into a Brewers lineup in the very near future. And down in the Arizona League, fourth rounder this last year, Demi Ormoloy has hit safely in 6 straight games and 12 out of his 14 total. He's batting .339 with a couple of homers, 10 stolen bases, and 7 runs batted in on the season. Not too shabby for an 18-year-old.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
Well, the Brewers, after their brief series against the Cleveland Indians, they'll hit the road and they'll go to Arizona and San Francisco for a 7-game road trip. But the crew will return to Milwaukee on July 30th to take on the Chicago Cubs in a weekend series. That begins an 11-game homestand with the Padres and Cardinals also coming to Miller Park. And that homestand will feature another free T-shirt Friday and a Matt Garza Garden Gnome giveaway. For more information about the upcoming homestand, visit Brewers.com for more details. Well, that's going to do it for Brewers on Tap this week. Don't forget to tweet those questions each and every week to the Brewers using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Thanks to our terrific guests, reliever Jeremy Jeffress and Wall of Fame enshrinee, TV broadcaster Bill Schroeder. My name is Jeff Levering, and thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap.